Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks. We are going to talk the 2021 miniseries Black Knight, Curse of the Ebony Blade. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing all right, Bob. I just want to make sure that listeners know do not confuse this with the Martin Lawrence film that premiered in 2001. Not the same Black Knight.
It's an important clarification, although wasn't that one subtitled Curse of the White Blade?
I think it might have been, Bob. I really do. Yeah. So I want to start off, Bob, just giving everyone a simple understanding of who the Black Knight is. His name is Dane Whitman. He has this Arthurian lineage. So, you know, he's related somehow to King Arthur. He's a master swordsman. He rides horses. He's also a scientist, I believe. He's got like a physics degree or something.
But he also does cloning.
He does cloning, yes. He's that good. All you need is a master's degree and you can clone things. It's pretty easy.
Some would say he's not good at cloning. Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, he does have the sword, Bob. It's a sword that makes him really powerful, but it also drives him to violence and bloodlust. That's why it's cursed.
So one clarification there. I'm not sure if that's already established in Black Knight or if that's a new thing.
Spoilers, folks. Spoilers.
I don't think it's a spoiler for this series. I'm not sure if it's something that was already existing in the character. I don't know the character real well either, listeners. The other thing I was going to add was the sense I got from this miniseries is it's not just violence and bloodlust, although it is violence and bloodlust, but it's also like depression, anger, antisocial energy, just negative emotion in general.
All those bad emotions we don't like.
Indeed.
It's like the red slime from Ghostbusters 2, Bob.
I did not know that, but thank you for the reference that did nothing for me, but I'm sure it was very edifying for many of our listeners.
Yeah. So anyway, he is played by Kit Harington in the MCU Eternals. I think he's part of like a post-credits thing, if I'm not mistaken, because I didn't watch
that
film.
That's right. He might even be in a little more post-credits, although not much more. I can't remember what year Eternals came out, but I think that this miniseries coming out, which is, I think there have been a couple of other Black Knight miniseries, but not much. So I think definitely the Eternals film is the reason this miniseries came out, either anticipation of it or tie into it.
Eternals came out the same year, 2021.
Okay. Man, what a terrible year 2020 was. not because of this miniseries. I like this miniseries pretty well. It's why I'm making Matt read it. Also because Matt, you know, made the mistake of expressing somewhat positive emotions about Black Knight during our coverage of Avengers World by Nick Spencer. So I was like, okay, we can make him read the Black Knight series.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Eurotrash Avengers, Bob.
You did enjoy the Eurotrash Avengers a lot more than me, and I only enjoyed the Black Knight from the Eurotrash Avengers because I have fond memories of the series that I did originally read back in 2021. It was probably the first thing I read by Cy Spurrier, the writer, and I've become pretty fond of Cy Spurrier, although there's a lot of stuff by him I still haven't read. I still haven't read his Flash. But after reading this, I read his Krakoa books, all of which basically starred Nightcrawler. So that was Way of X, Legion of X, and then Uncanny Spider-Man. Did you read any of those?
Okay, is Uncanny Spider-Man the same as Uncanny Nightcrawler? It's like it's Nightcrawler or Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. I did read that, yes.
Yeah, and I thought you renaming it Uncanny Nightcrawler was actually a pretty good renaming.
Yeah. I confused myself. I just confused myself, my bad. Yeah, it's where Nightcrawler becomes Spider-Man. Very sick design. That's what I really liked about that one.
Yeah. He also romances Silver Sable. Yes. She really likes his tail. That's cute. Okay, so you did like Uncanny Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, if you'd said you hadn't, I guess what I would have said is I don't think it would have totally changed your perspective, but I think it hit a little differently if you read it after reading his Way of X and Legion of X books. But that said, it did somewhat stand on its own.
Yeah, it was a good read.
Yeah, and then the art on this is by the Black Knight miniseries, not Uncanny Nightcrawler, but the art on the Black Knight miniseries is by Sergio Davila. I think this is the only thing I've ever read by Davila.
Okay. Well, Bob, let's bust into this with issue number one.
Yeah, Matt. So we get at the start Dane Whitman, Black Knight, talking to a chatbot. And when I read this back in 2021, I think I was only dimly aware of chatbots, and this was like right before, you know, ChatGPT and all that burst on the scene in 2022. So, you know, this didn't stand out to me at all when I read it in 2021, but rereading it to talk about with you today, I got a really sinking feeling when I saw Dane Whitman talking to a chatbot.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky because it predicts the future in a sense that we've got people like, you know, now they're literally myself included, sometimes I'll just ask ChatGPT what to do. And, you know, I'm really like it kind of predicted the future in a way.
Why does it keep telling you to kill the cat?
No, Bob, it doesn't tell me to kill the cat, but it does offer you some, you know, it doesn't offer you like, I wouldn't ask it for like, you know, advice that's real, you know, that I really need to do anything for.
Should I kill the cat?
No, Bob, you would not ask the chatbot that. But it does give you someone to talk to that's non-judgmental, I think is the idea.
So you're implying that your friend Bob's judgmental.
Yeah, Bob, I won't talk to you and you're going to give me shit advice or make fun of me. And I don't
I might do both at once.
Yeah,
I can,
see?
Unlike ChatGPT, I can walk and chew gum.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Matt, do you suppose that the pandemic was hard on Dane Whitman?
It must have been. I mean, it really must have been. That's why he's so isolated with his chatbot. But it does reflect the world at the time, so...
Yeah.
People all cooped up and ready to get out and go back to normal.
Funny that. So I think my favorite moment in issue number one is we have a kind of extended guest appearance from the Avengers. And I can't even remember what they're fighting, but Thor is smashing whatever they're fighting with Mjolnir. And he says, "These gore-slathered wretches splatter most agreeably." And Captain Marvel just replies, "You have scab flakes all in your hair."
Yeah, a lot of good lines from the Avengers here. That's also one of my favorite pages in this is on page 6, where the Avengers are exchanged, like Dane shows up and the Avengers are like calling him out. Thor says, you know, F this guy. And then Captain Marvel asks, you know, "That horse does not look happy, the horse that he's flying in on." and then of course Black Panther's response is he clones them badly.
Yeah, and we should clarify, if you don't know, listeners, although you should also read the series, it's a good series, Black Knight has a winged horse. That's traditionally part of his gimmick.
Yeah. And then you have Captain America trying to, you know, play the leader part and be like, "Okay, guys, you know, let's just try to get along with him. Let's be nice. You know, he's here to help us."
Yeah, but you can tell even Cap really doesn't care for Black Knight. Yeah. There's a great bit a little later on page 12 where Black Knight is trying to ask them out to, you know, for drinks. And Cap's like, "It's noon, Dane."
Yeah.
Dane's just like, "Oh, so just beer then?"
Yeah. So let's add alcoholic to the list of things that Dane.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I will say, Matt, that I was a little triggered by came on page 16, where Black Knight says he's triggered. I was a little triggered.
Bob, it was just a sign of the times.
It was a sign of the times, and unfortunately, still a sign of the times, although less so now than in 2021. So we get to the cliffhanger issue number one, and we have the ebony blade reattaching Black Knight's head in front of grad student Jackie Chopra. And Black Knight's goat butler is also there watching, who he also cloned, which I guess that's a spoiler, listeners. I think it's said later on in the miniseries. I was kind of surprised that this was the first appearance of the goat butler and he was never named. Actually was named, but he's the first appearance of the goat butler and it's just kind of very offhand. Yeah, Dane Whitman uses his bad cloning skills to create a winged horse and a goat butler.
It sure does, Bob. And I will say it was pretty badass when the Black Knight got his head chopped off. Did not see that coming, and the Avengers are pretty freaked out as well. So for them to have him reattach it by the end, you know, they could have waited maybe an issue. But it's
Matt,
still
Matt's
good.
Like, Dane Whitman's not a great character.
You yeah. know,
having him just sitting around a decapitated corpse for an issue would have been fine.
Yeah, we didn't have to resurrect him so quickly, but it's all good. He did have questions, and so did I at the end.
So moving into issue number two, we find out that the goat butler's name is Philip, which I guess must be a reference to the Vivitch or the Witch, that great horror movie. Did you see that horror movie, Matt?
I did not, Bob.
Oh, man. My pitch for that movie is you got to see that movie because you got to see how cheaply a starving Puritan girl is willing to sell her soul to the devil.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds fascinating.
It's delightful. It's delightful. Oh, man, the Vivitch is great, man. You should watch it. Ari Aster, or no, that's not Ari Aster, my bad. That's the guy who did the Viking Hamlet, and who did The Lighthouse, whose name is this guy. And he did Nosferatu. Eggers, Robert Eggers. All right, well, my favorite panel for issue number two, Matt, and we're using the numbering from the trade, dear listeners, is page 38. And Black Knight is complaining to the ghost of the original Black Knight about how complicated his origin is, and he's sick burning the original for being dead despite having a cursed sword that could resurrect him.
Right. And this kind of fits in with my favorite panel, Bob, which is a few pages before on page 34, where he's giving this long tale that has all this mythology. And if you're not into that stuff, like the Arthurian mythology, not like Greek or anything. If you're not into it, it kind of goes, it goes on and on and on. I think that was purposeful because they literally have Dane there on his phone, just kind of nodding and agreeing while this ghost is talking. That was my favorite panel. And then on the next page, he randomly is like, "So that means I'm a vampire," which I thought was pretty funny too. Because I mean,
nice.
Theoretically, it could be.
But the way, man, this guy has a master's in physics. He knows about vampires.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Well, Matt, I thought your favorite panel would have been on page 41, where we have Elsa Bloodstone taking off her motorcycle helmet to reveal herself, and also using that helmet to thwack Black Phillip the Butler.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. She knocks him right over. I was surprised to see Elsa Bloodstone here. I've seen a lot more of her since you've had me reading stuff dealing with magic. I feel like she's a character that just continually shows up.
We saw her in Avengers World, and then we're going to talk about Next Wave in coming weeks, dear listeners, so look forward to that. So she's in Next Wave. Has there been anything else?
Wasn't she in the...
The Werewolf by Night.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, yeah. The Werewolf by Night series we did.
Yeah, so. Which was one of the first comics we...
Correct.
That's way back when.
So.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But before I didn't know she existed, so, yeah.
I have to be honest, I totally forgot she was in this series. Like, I remembered liking the series, I remembered the stuff about, like, Black Knight's origin and the sword and the goat butler, but I just totally forgot Elsa was in it, and so, you know, seeing that she was in it was a delightful surprise.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we do get a surprise at the very end of this issue. Introduced.
Yeah,
to...
well, let me just say one other thing Elsa does that I like is that she threatens the original Black Knight with her ghost bullet, and she accuses him of being sexist for withholding information, which I think, yeah, you know, an Arthurian knight probably would be sexist, and Elsa Bloodstone should shoot him with ghost bullets.
Yeah, ghost bullets. I mean, what? How does one obtain ghost bullets, do you think?
Yeah, it raises a question. Are they specifically manufactured for that purpose, or do you have to do some sort of ritual on actual bullets? I don't know.
Like, are they bullets that were used to kill someone, therefore, like, they're also dead? They're ghost bullets, or do you, like, purchase them, or do you, like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some kind
maybe
of incantation.
Maybe they're bullets that are killed.
There you go. They're dead bullets.
Yeah, it's dead bullets.
I love it.
Nice, nice. Well, Matt, what goes down in the cliffhanger for issue number two?
Well, Bob, we always find out at the end we're introduced to a character I had no clue who he was, Mordred.
Yeah, it's a Black Knight story. It's got to be Mordred as the villain.
Apparently it's always Mordred.
It's always Mordred. How could it be anything else than a Black Knight
story? So who's Mordred, Bob?
Mordred, Matt, I'm surprised you don't know him, is King Arthur and Morgan Le Fay's incest baby.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Man, you really don't know your Arthurian legend, do you?
I really don't. I really, really don't.
Matt, I see you looking at your phone.
Yeah, I'm paying attention, Bob. I'm shaking my head. Yeah, yeah, I gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just the old, yeah. I'm the old original Black Knight who knows so much more than you. Somehow got killed despite having a resurrection sword.
Exactly.
And I guess we should say, listeners, I guess the catch, I think I got this right, is that you have to be holding the sword when you die to get
yes.
resurrected.
Correct.
So if you drop the sword, which presumably happened to all the other previous Black Knights, you don't get resurrected.
Right. So it's an important little artifact there to keep up with. I don't feel like the Black Knight would be as cool without it. So I don't understand, like, if this is really when we first learn about his sword. Everything up to this point, he's just been like this dude who runs around in knight armor fighting. Wow. Okay.
Well, Matt, I'm going to take a guess in issue number 3 at your favorite panel. And I was going to say it was on page 48 where we find out that Ulysses Bloodstone, Elsa's father, who was a character in a few Marvel comics, back in the 70s before Elsa was introduced. But Ulysses Bloodstone locked a 4-year-old Elsa in a cupboard with plague to teach her the importance of personal hygiene.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Like, I'm finally learning more about Elsa Bloodstone through this comic. And I'm like, oh, that's really sad that that's how she, you know, evolved in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Into what she is now.
So my favorite panel came a little bit later in number 3. It's on page 58, and we get a splash page where Merlin's familiar is showing Jax, our grad student, who's kind of like her POV character.
Yeah.
He's showing her a battle between young Thor and the original Black Knight, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, how did you feel about that fight, Bob? How did you feel about Black Knight taking out Thor?
Well, we should really stress that it's young Thor. So this is like Thor, like in the early part of the Jason Aaron run, who's like hanging around with Vikings. He's wasted probably because he's always wasted when he's hanging out with Vikings. He's young. He doesn't have Mjolnir. So, you know, for all those reasons, and it's the fact that it's Black Knight's book, I'm willing to buy it.
Which hammer is, like, that's not Mjolnir? That's
not Mjolnir.
Okay. See, it looked like Mjolnir to me. I didn't know it was a different hammer.
Yeah, he doesn't have Mjolnir yet.
You got to have the good hammer to really take him out.
Yeah. And also, I mean, this is the original Black Knight. It's not our chump present Black Knight.
Yeah, yeah. This is the really cool one with the different helmet.
Yeah. So, and actually, Matt, I guess I should say, I don't know the details of this at all, but, it just as, like, the original Ulysses Bloodstone was a character in, I believe, 70s Marvel comics, like in Marvel horror comics, although not very many. The original Black Knight, I believe, was a character in an ongoing series, although I don't know how ongoing it actually turned out to be, but in an ongoing series in the 50s. So, like, back really before Marvel was Marvel, they published, like, a Black Knight series in the 50s, I believe.
Okay. So it was probably more like a just, that. Not the word, but caricatures of those times. Like, okay, we had a medieval-looking hero. We had a cowboy. We had like that kind of thing.
It was probably trying to cash in, although Prince Valiant, I think, started in the 30s, but it was probably trying to cash in on Prince Valiant to an extent. Also, like, in the 50s, DC had a bunch of, like, historical war comics, too. Like, Viking Prince was one, and then there were a couple of others that I can't remember what they were, but Viking Prince. The one that has stuck with me. So, yeah, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Matt, in the cliffhanger to issue number 3, Black Knight gets resurrected again. But this time he's a bit evil, and he has a drink from the Ebony Chalice.
Yeah, the Ebony Chalice, but which leads us into issue 4, where we learn that Mordred's thing is he wants to collect all the ebony weapons or things that were made of ebony back
ebony
in the day.
Objects of power.
Ebony objects of power. So you got the ebony blade, you got the chalice, you got the shield, you got the dagger, and he wants to take those. And some, I guess he's. We find out later he wants to melt them, and he turns them into a crown he wears upon his head.
Yeah. An ebony crown, if you will.
An ebony crown, yes.
Yeah.
So my favorite.
What was your favorite?
My favorite moment, Bob, is when it's on page 72, where Mordred just yanks the bloodstone out of his minion's head. Because he's like, I'm done with this guy, and boom, pulls it out, and the guy vanishes, or really doesn't vanish, he disintegrates in front of him, and then just gives it to Elsa, because that's what she was after the whole time.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that kind of defeats my guesses. So I was going to guess for you that maybe you thought 76, where we have Arthur head in hands in a flashback explaining to his incest son that he was drunk when he conceived Mordred's sister. Or maybe on 78, we have Jax using Elsa's shotgun and yelling at Mordred. That was a pretty good moment.
That was really cool, yes, I will say. This character of Jax, who, is just supposed to be this college student that has this great, I think that she has a doctorate in...
She's working on a master's.
Sorry. My bad, Bob. I forgot you're the education guy. I don't want to mess you up. She's working on her... She's in grad school to get... working on mythology stuff.
Yeah,
she knows a lot about the Black Knight and what's going down with him.
Yeah, I did just want to say my actual favorite panel though came on 81 in issue 4, where we have a flashback montage of previous incarnations of the Black Knight. In this way, it feels very akin to like Matt Fraction's run on Iron Fist or Jason Aaron's run on Ghost Rider, both of which are runs we should look at some point. Oh, or even to the Blue Marvel adventures we saw in Al Ewing's Mighty Avengers, right? But we have a Chinese warrior Black Knight, we have a pirate Black Knight, we have a Wild West Black Knight, we have a British imperialist Black Knight, we have a World War I Black Knight, and most disturbingly of all, although the World War, British imperialist Black Knight, pretty bad too, and the Wild West Black Knight, pretty bad, but we have a Nazi Black Knight.
Yeah, I will say that the World War I with the gas mask on is kind of cool looking, but, and then the pirate one's neat too. It really reminds me of this is going to be a video game reference you don't know anything about, but it reminds me of Assassin's Creed, how they go through all the
They did a pirate game.
Yeah, how they go through all, but they've done like just about everything other than Western, but that's just, it kills me.
I remember hearing that the having to sail your ship in the Assassin's Creed pirate was a pain.
Yeah, it could be fun for a while, but then after it got kind of ridiculous after you
played
it.
Did they not do a Western Assassin's Creed just because of Red Dead?
No, not yet. I'm sure that'll be coming at some point.
But I'm just saying that's probably why they haven't done it.
Why they didn't? Yeah, it'd be too similar. Yeah. Yeah. They did do an American Revolution Assassin's Creed, which was fun.
Oh, was that the same one as the pirate one, or is that kind of two different ones?
It's before. It's it's called Freedom something, Freedom Cry or something. But yeah.
Did you ever watch that? oh God, AMC show called like Turn, and it had some stupid subtitle like Washington Spies or something.
No, I never watched that.
I'd sometimes hear good things about it, but it's that rare thing. There's not that much media set in the American Revolution, right? So whenever somebody makes a video game or makes a TV show, it's just the relative rarity of it makes it somewhat interesting.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Well, the cliffhanger for issue number 4, kind of, as you already mentioned, some might even say as you already spoiled for our listeners.
So sorry.
I know, right? Mordred has forged all of these ebony object power into the ebony crown. He then kills Jax, RIP Jax, and then Mordred dons the ebony crown.
Yeah, so, Bob, this then leads to yet another resurrection.
Another resurrection of Jax, because it turns out that Jax is basically Dane Whitman's Mordred, although without the incest, so that's good.
There you go. So, yeah, so Jax is resurrected, and I totally called it. Did you call it that was going to happen?
You know, I don't remember if I called it back in 2021, and then, in 2026, I called it because I remembered it.
Yeah, I totally called it. I'm like, I don't know how they're going to get out of this other than just trying to make this other person a superhero or a hero of some sort.
Matt, this is obvious, but it just, like, really hit me that I read this comic 5 years ago, and that was, like, I felt physical pain.
Oh, wow.
We're getting old, man.
Yeah.
We're getting really old.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, true.
Oh, God, sorry. I'm pondering my own mortality, and I don't have an ebony blade to feed my negative emotions to or to resurrect me, but I guess, should I give my guess at your favorite panel?
Go right ahead, Bob, because it's not it, but go ahead.
So I thought you might like when Mordred links the ebony crown up to the chatbot on page 9, issue number 5.
No, I mean, that was neat. It looks like he has his own, like, Cerebro thing going with his ebony crown.
Oh, yeah, it totally is Cerebro. I didn't think about that, but you're right. Yeah, it's like Cerebro, but, you know, in a way, this is very prophetic of, like, you know, the chatbots running off negative emotions and hate.
Yeah.
So, Matt, you did call the ebony blade resurrecting Jax?
Oh, sure, yeah. I saw it coming a mile away.
Matt, this is not Matt's first comic or even his third.
No, anybody can be resurrected at any time.
Especially when they have an ebony blade.
Especially, they didn't. He just happened not to throw that one in the pit to make the crown. I caught that.
Yeah, so I think my favorite panel was a little bit after Jax's resurrection. So we found out that, you know, that Black Knight is Jax's dad and he abandoned her, although, to be fair, he didn't know that she had his kid when he abandoned her, although she was dying of cancer and him abandoning her was really sick for other reasons.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny how Mordred is, like, disgusted at this whole thing. And Mordred is disgusted at it because he's a racist from the Middle Ages, right?
Right.
But in contrary, the reader is disgusted at Black Knight, at Dane Whitman, because he's a moral coward. Right.
Right.
And so I think it is kind of funny how Spurrier, like, you know, kind of weaves together. You're supposed to sort of share Mordred's perspective in this page, but also not at all. So I just thought that was a little clever bit of writing.
So, Bob, we do get a Sauron reference later on in this comic, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he was, or no, she does call him this, right?
Yes,
She calls Mordred the cut-price Sauron.
Yeah.
And the ghost bullet, which, you know, she set up way earlier when she was threatening the original Black Knight. She has her ghost bullet loaded, and she shoots the cut-price Sauron, a.k.a. Mordred, with it.
Yeah. Well, Bob, my favorite is, after all this is summed up, we do...
Well, actually, before that, I wanted to ask Matt, did you know what siege meant in this context?
Not really, no.
Yeah, it's an old word for seat. I don't know if you remember, you might never have seen these, but like in the late 80s X-Men when they were like in Australia.
Yeah.
They got there because they went through the Siege Perilous, and the Siege Perilous is like the Seat Perilous.
Okay.
So that's something pretty common in like Arthurian legend is you'll see like siege used for seat.
Okay, I never really thought of it that way, but that's interesting. So like if I say a siege tower, that's
not
the same word.
Not the same.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where my brain went when I read the word siege. So
yeah. Not
thanks,
not
Bob.
You've added
a little layer there to my brain. Thanks, I appreciate it. I got the little bit of. Oh, I know a siege is a seat.
I'm gonna have to just find just a. I mean, you know, you can find something equally to hurt me, but just like you're gonna try to find some comics to hurt me, I need to find some Arthurian comics to just really hurt you.
Maybe read that what were those books you used to have when you were younger, Bob, that probably had like a bunch of King Arthur stories? Those little, like, those really small books.
was it like the Sword in the Stone stuff?
No, yeah, but it was like they were, it was a series of books that retold old tales but shortened them down, like made them, like it took all of Sherlock Holmes and put it in one little small book that, like, it was meant for kids. You had all of them.
The Great Illustrated Classics.
That may have been it. I think you had...
They're like hardcover and yes. Like illustrated every other page.
Yes.
I definitely didn't have all of them. I had like 10.
Oh, well, you had a ton. I know you had some on King Arthur. I should get one of those and read up is what I should...
You know, honestly, I'm not sure if I did have one on King Arthur.
It wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah. I remember I had like Count of Monte Cristo... had Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn.
Well, Bob, let me say this though. We talked about the cloned horses earlier, but we have left out completely that Black Knight has what's known as the Atomic Steed, which is this modified hover bike thing that Elsa ends up taking, and that was my favorite panel. Was on page 105 where she just says, "I'm taking this. It's mine now."
Nice. He's not using it. It's mine. Yeah. I actually, you know, I think I might have messed up the explanation earlier, although I'm not sure, because I just, yeah, mostly Black Knight appears in Avengers books, and I have not read a lot of pre-Hickman Avengers. But I think the originally Black Knight in the Marvel Age of Comics is a villain and rides the winged horse, and then he dies, and he passes, like in the late 60s, he dies, I think, and he passes it on to Dane, his nephew.
Okay.
And I think Dane mostly uses the Atomic Steed, and his villainous uncle mostly uses the winged horse. Although maybe I'm wrong
about that. Okay.
Generalization. But in either case, the Atomic Steed is in better hands now with Elsa.
I agree. Very, very, very action figure-ish type of thing that can be made.
Yeah, I wonder if you can get like an Elsa Bloodstone action figure that has the Atomic Steed. Yeah. Probably not, but you should be able to.
You might be able to get a Black Knight that has one. I doubt
that. Yeah, that seems more likely, doesn't it?
I'll have to look that up.
Although probably still, more likely still, to get the Winged Horse, although the Winged Horse would be more difficult to make than the Atomic Steed, I assume.
And will the Winged Horse look like crap? That's the question.
I mean, if it does, it's kind of appropriate, given that, you know, by all accounts, Winged Horses look like crap.
Yeah, those cloned horses don't turn out too good.
They don't turn out too good. So, Matt, we have a cliffhanger. There are now two Black Knights, Jax and her deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
Jax and her deadbeat dad are going to share the birth of the Ebony Blade. They're two Black Knights.
Wouldn't it be bastard father? Is that how we want to say it?
Yeah, bastard father would work. illegitimate father. All those could work. But this really primes this up for new adventures with the Black Knights. As far as I know, there haven't really been any. I think there was one issue that tied into the death of Doctor Strange, that I think Cy Spurrier also wrote, but I'm not aware that these two have really shown up in any other Marvel comics. Maybe they have, and I'm just not aware.
Speaking of which, the only reason that Black Knight showed up in the first part of this book was because Doctor Strange wasn't available. We forgot to mention it.
Yeah. So, Matt, if you have a mystical problem, definitely your first priority is to call Doctor Strange. But if you can't get him, you'll accept Black Knight, but you're not happy about it. And then you really don't want to call Dr. Druid, though, right? Dr. Druid is like your summoner of last resort.
Yeah. He's like your back alley doctor. You don't want to go to him.
Well, and actually it can get even worse, as we saw in Avengers World. There's Dr. Druid, and then there's Dr. Druid's son.
Yeah.
Really don't want Dr. Druid's son.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. Just stay clear of Dr. Druid, folks.
Yeah, bad news, man. Bad news. So, Matt, I wanted to ask, how did this measure up to your love of Black Knight and your interest in Avengers World?
Well, like the 8 pages in Avengers World that the Black Knight showed up on, you know, compared to this, it let me understand the character better. I will say that. I feel like these Avengers comics that we have kind of spun off onto, or the characters we've looked into, have really enriched the who they are. Like, I now know more about Blue Marvel and then more about Black Knight. Shoot, what's her name? This is bad. Auntie.
Bloodstone?
No, what's Auntie's name?
Oh, Spectrum, Auntie Monica.
Yeah, sorry, Spectrum. I was going to say Auntie Monica. Monica Rambeau. Like, I didn't know a ton about her, and now she's like the number one character I have on my comic geeks thing. She's in like every book I read.
That's funny.
Yeah, Elsa Bloodstone's another example. like all these characters I didn't know anything about until you go off on these like, you know, little side quests of, you know, the mainline comics, and you start to see, oh, okay, cool. These characters are fleshed out more. There are people who can kind of work with them and make them interesting. I mean, this story wasn't amazing or anything. I feel like it's probably something similar has been told before, and it was very predictable, but at the same time, it gives Black Knight, you know, a reason to exist other than just being from, you know, well, he's not even from Europe, but you get the idea.
Yeah, my impression, and I can't really say for sure because I haven't read a lot of Black Knight comics, but my impression is that it is adding a lot of stuff to the Black Knight mythos, such as it is, right? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because the Black Knight in Avengers world, you know, before this, but it's, yeah, in hindsight, you know, you can think of the guy you see in Avengers world a little differently.
Right. And on top of this, too, like you said, we said at the beginning of the episode, the MCU trying to bring the Black Knight in is Kit Harington. So I really feel like they were going to do something with that had the Eternals taken off. But
can I ask you a question? Do you think the fact that Kit, I mean, I don't know when this came out vis-a-vis like the Eternals movie, you know, obviously they both came out the same year, but clearly it was probably known that Kit Harington was going to play Black Knight when Cy Spurrier was writing this. And how much do you think this is just like, he's like, okay, I need an angle on Black Knight. What if Black Knight sucked? Versus how much is his angle like, oh God, Kit Harington is playing him. Kit Harington sucks. I need to make Black Knight suck in the same way.
I don't know. I feel like if in the grand scheme of things, they would want Black Knight to take off because if they would have had Kit Harington, if they would have gone forward with what they wanted to do, and you would have had Jon Snow in Marvel, I mean, really, that's what they were going for. it would have been interesting, I think. I think it probably would have attracted more fans, especially Game of Thrones fans.
And I don't know. I think Game of Thrones, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Game of Thrones is luster had quite worn off by 2021. And also, like, they'd already tried and failed to do some blockbusters with Kit Harington. Remember Pompeii?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Pompeii. So, well, that's what I'm saying, but this would get him back to his roots of you're a knight, yeah. You're doing that kind of crap. You know what I mean? Like that's, I think that may be what they were shooting for.
Listeners, I'm normally the one who's like, oh no, I never want a comics adaptation of anything. Or sorry, I never want a movie adaptation of any comic, basically. But if you were doing a Kit Harington Black Knight movie that was in this spirit, I think that could be interesting where he's kind of like the loser, the other adventurers don't really care for him. That actually could be a little, it could be an interesting angle for an MCU movie is what I'm saying. I'm not deeply mourning the fact that we didn't get it. Who cares? But it could have been an interesting.
Yeah. And I really want Becky Lynch to play Elsa Bloodstone. I think I could see that happening.
Okay. I could see that.
You know, Becky Lynch from, WWE.
Yeah. Not very well, but I know her. Yeah. I know her a bit from WWE. Yeah. No, that's funny. I guess the other funny thing to say is that in a way, they were almost like, you know, I think in terms of names recognition, Eternals is worse than Black Knight. And so in a way, they were kind of putting the Black Knight in to lift up Eternals. And the result was that Eternals just drug down the Black Knight.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Kind of reminds me of Adam Warlock, too. I don't think they went anywhere with him either.
Oh, they still might, though. I guess we'll have to kind of see where the next like phase of the cosmic MCU goes, but I think we still might see more of Warlock. The guy they cast it as Adam Warlock, I think, is going to be a pretty big deal.
And I also want to say this, since this just dropped and it's slightly relevant, Wonder Man is on Disney Plus. I watched the first episode. It's set up very differently than, I may try to give it a full run.
All right. Yeah, keep me posted. I don't know. I don't really want to, but maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's just, he's so obscure, so it just doesn't, like, you know.
Yeah, I should double check on this. I thought about if there are Wonder Man comics we should cover, and honestly, I don't really think there are.
I don't either.
He's in Avengers a lot, but I don't think there's, like, solo Wonder Man that's, like, worth, you know, just to tie into the media environment at the moment. I don't think there's anything really worth covering.
Right. Well, Bob, let's talk rankings for this book.
Yeah. So my initial thought was beneath, like, Legends of the Blue Marvel. Listeners, we currently have a 29-item list. It's going to be 30 items once we put Black Knight on it. But I was thinking beneath Legends of the Blue Marvel at 18 and above the John Ridley Black Panther at 19. But then I got to thinking that really I think like the Ridley Black Panther and Gotham City Sirens and Matt Wagner Dr. Midnight are all better than this, probably, even though I like Black Knight quite a lot. I think it's quite witty. But I think those are probably better, and definitely a lot of people are probably disgusted at how low down our list Infinity Gauntlet is at number 22. But definitely Infinity Gauntlet has a lot more effect on the Marvel Universe than Black Knight. So maybe the right place for this is the new number 23 beneath Infinity Gauntlet and above Superman versus Fantastic Four. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's where I would put it. After looking at your two options, I think that would be your best bet. For one, your Infinity Gauntlet, what you mentioned about it, but also I really appreciate Legend of the Blue Marvel. I thought it was really, really good comic. I didn't really have too much issue with John Ridley's Black Panther at the time. I don't remember it being that bad. I mean, none of these comics are bad on our list. We only have 30 point list, so.
Well, arguably the bottom three are bad.
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. But I mean, nothing above above Gotham Knights is terrible. And even Gotham Knights has some shining, you know.
Yeah,
it has shining gems, yeah.
It has its charms.
I will say this comparatively, this does remind me more of Wagner's Dr. Midnight in that sense of where it's, yeah.
Yeah, so. A kind of nice one-off enriching of a fairly obscure hero.
Yeah, that's you're probably not going to see much of again. That's the thing. I mean, it's not.
Yeah. Although, in a way, the Wagner's Dr. Midnight does really shape how you see Dr. Midnight in the JSA comics in the 2000s and the 2010s. So, in a way, it did have some influence. And similarly, I could see whenever Black Knight does return to, like, you know, a second tier Avengers book,
right?
I could see it being really influenced by what you do here. I will note, just because I think it's kind of interesting to note, that putting Black Knight at 23 ranks it above the other big Elsa Bloodstone appearance in Werewolf by Night, which is at number 25, which I'm okay with because that was just a kind of one-off issue, right?
Right.
And so you honestly get more Elsa in this Black Knight miniseries than I think you did in the Werewolf by Night one-shot. And this also puts Black Knight above his appearance with the Euro Trash Avengers, yes. Avengers World, which Matt maybe ultimately doesn't agree with because I think he liked that series a bit more than I did.
I did, yeah, but that's fine. I agree with that. And that does make sense, though, because Black Knight would... I mean, you get way more information and more character development in this book with him than you do in Avengers World.
Or really more than you do for most of the Avengers in Avengers World, just because it's such like a crowded book that's
right.
Constantly shifting focus. Yeah. All right, listeners. Well, we're up to 30 items on our list. We talked about 30 runs of comics, and we are nowhere near done. Join us next week. We'll probably be talking about the original Jack Kirby run on Avengers, which is only 8 issues. We're also going to be talking about that third Fantastic Four epic of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby pretty soon. So be looking for those episodes, listeners. And thank you for joining us on this episode about Black Knight. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.